Today on The Journey.
There's always going to be confusion in our life. So here's what we want to do today. We want to cut through the confusion and secure ourselves with Jesus, who is the anchor of our soul.
We're sailing through confusing times. We're tossed between wind and water, struggling to get our bearings. So before we're dragged onto spiritually dangerous shoals, there's something we must do. Today, Ron Moore offers that something and shows you where to find it. Before that, please note our offer of Ron's book, Journey Through the Bible. Its 371 pages will lead you on a one-year sojourn from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. Journey Through the Bible is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Anchor in the Word, on the Journey.
Let's pray together before we open God's Word. Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us and you care for us and you know exactly what's going on. You are not confused by anything, although we may be. And we pray, Father, that as we think about that today, what it's like to live in this confusing time, that you would speak directly to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we've started this series we've called Anchored, Unshakable Truths in the Storm. Our theme verse during this series is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And that verse says this, "We have this as our sure and steadfast anchor of our soul." This is Jesus, the message and person of Jesus. Jesus, the immovable one, is the sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. And what we're trying to do in this series is very simple. We're trying to look at Scripture and see what it feels like, what the experience is to anchor ourselves in Jesus and experience Him as that anchor of our soul. So, a few months ago, I was on an airplane, and that tells you how long ago it was. Remember those airplanes, those tubes that fly through the air? I was on one of those, and we were getting ready to land. I had all my stuff packed up and stowed safely under the seat in front of me, and the plane comes down. All of a sudden, man, we just took off back up into the air. Now, that was a weird feeling, and I was a little confused about that. The pilot came on and he said, "Well, you know, sorry about that, but the flap on the wing is not responding." And he said, "I'm going to fix it." And I'm thinking, how's he going to fix it? Is he like going to crawl on the wing with a wrench and fix the flap? How's he going to do that? So we stay in the air while he's fixing the flap. We were in the air for over an hour, just flying around. Now, that was bad enough, but right around me, there were these people, I'll just say it, they were intoxicated. They were a little buzzed before they got on the plane, and they kept drinking while they were on the plane. And now they're saying stupid stuff. Shocking. Intoxicated people saying stupid stuff. Like, "Oh, we're going to die. Oh, man, the plane's going down. Oh, Joe, I'm glad I could take this last flight with you." And so, man, I'm thinking, oh, great. I'm not afraid. I'm just annoyed at these intoxicated people around me. Now, finally, the pilot comes back on. Again, we've been in the air for an hour. Now, I'm no aeronautical engineer, but I know that a plane can only have so much fuel, and the fuel is what keeps this tube up in the air, right? And so he comes on, and he says, "Well, I haven't fixed the flap, but we're going to land anyway." Now, I'm really confused. So we couldn't land because the flap was broken. Now the flap's still broken, and we're going to land. He had some name for the landing. I had a name for the landing, too. And he said, "Hold on. We're going to come in hot. It's going to be kind of bumpy, and we're going to come in fast." And sure enough, we came in hot and bumpy and fast, but I'm here, so it was a safe landing. Now, we're kind of on this flight as well right now, right? We're in this COVID flight, COVID-19. And here we are, we're flying around, and we're kind of in a holding pattern. We're trying to figure out how to land. We just don't know what it's going to look like when this thing lands. Will the economy come back? We don't know that. Will the job you were furloughed from, will it come back? Now, some of you, while you're confused about the situations with COVID-19, some of you have non-related issues, relationship situations, illnesses, loss. And so that brings confusion in your life. Now, here's the deal. COVID's going to go away, but confusion It's here to stay, right? There's always going to be confusion in our life. So here's what we want to do today in this Anchor series. We want to cut through the confusion and secure ourselves with Jesus, who is the anchor of our soul. So I want to take you to four places in Scripture so that we can cut through the confusion and experience Jesus as the anchor of our soul. Now, before we get there, I want to say all Scripture is important. All Scripture is inspired by God. So wherever you are in Scripture, it is important, and God speaks to you through Scripture. But I want us today, particularly in this issue of confusion, to look at these four places in Scripture. And let's start with the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John does this. In confusing times, go-to number one is the Gospel of John, because there we learn how to know Jesus. Not just know about him, but how to know Jesus. Now, in the Gospel of John, he gives us the specific purpose as to why he wrote the book. In chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, here's what he says. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. I could have told you about many things Jesus did, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, John's not just talking about eternal life. He's talking about life right now. And he uses that word believe 98 times in his gospel. He puts it in the present tense, and he wants us to say, you believe in Christ. When you believe in Christ, when you know Jesus, you can have a vital relationship with him. You can have a continuous relationship with him. You can have an active relationship with him. Knowing Jesus, walking with him. Now, John says, that's my purpose, and then he lays the book out like this. First of all, he says, I want you to know who Jesus is. And in the first chapter of the book, in the first verses of the book, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they start with the birth narrative, right? But John just says, I'm going to cut away from that. In the beginning was the Word. He's eternal. He's always been. He always will be. He was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. He's the Creator. You want to walk with Jesus, you're walking with the Creator. Without him, there was nothing made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then he goes down to verse 14, and he says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John says, I want you to know who Jesus is. I want you to walk with him. I want you to live with him. I want you to have this ongoing, active, vital, continuous relationship with the Creator of the universe. His name is Jesus. He took on flesh and dwelt among us. Now, John says, I want to make sure you understand who Jesus is. And so he gives us seven signs. These signs are the miracles of Jesus. There are three healings that Jesus did that John tells us about. Again, he could have told us about many more. He chooses these three. Then he talks about Jesus walking on the water. He talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000. He talks about Jesus turning water into wine. He talks about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That's the Creator who can raise a person from the dead. Then he tells us these seven I am statements of Jesus. He wants us to know who Jesus is so that we can have this personal relationship with him. And these seven I am statements, like I am the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, the seven statements that Jesus gets. And he wants us to know, in doing that, I am the bread of life. I am God. I am the one who nourishes you. I'm the light of the world. I'm the one who provides the light on the path. I am the way, the truth, and life. You can't come to the Father but through me. Seven signs, seven statements. And I love this. 27 interviews or dialogues with different people. So it starts with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus says, how do I have eternal life? Jesus explains that to him, this Jewish leader. Then one of the dialogues is the woman at the well. This woman has had a tough life, married seven times, kicked out of her home seven times, living with a man at the present. And she's given the task to go get the water from the well. And Jesus, in a divine appointment, meets her right there and says, I know what your life's all about. I know what your sins are. And I'm here to offer you living water. I'm going to give you something of substance. I'm going to give you something that will change your life forever. The last dialogue in the book, the resurrected Lord meets Peter. Peter had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus is cooking breakfast out on the beach. Peter's out in a boat and he sees him and he jumps in the water and he goes to the shore. But I love the story because he wants to be with Jesus. But remember, he denied Jesus three times. He's like us. I want to be with Jesus, but my guilt keeps me from there. I want to know Jesus, but I'm standing to the side, separated from him. But then Jesus has that conversation with Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Three denials, three questions. Peter, do you love me? And there Peter is restored and becomes this great leader of the church. We have in John the opportunity to go see not just who Jesus is, but to know who Jesus is, and to know that we can walk with him and we can be one, like Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. But whatever gain I had, whoever I was, whatever position I had, whatever job I had, it doesn't matter. I count as loss for the sake of Jesus. I want to know him. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you want to know Jesus? You want to cut through the confusion in your life and go to the book of John, and you'll be able to meet Jesus and be able to walk with him and be able to experience the anchor of your soul. That's our first go-to place. Here's our second go-to place. Go to the Psalms. In the Psalms, we engage with God. Now, I love the Psalms for many reasons, but I got to tell you, the writers of the New Testament, they loved the Psalms as well. 60 of the Psalms are either quoted directly or paraphrased in the New Testament. 60 Psalms. In the New Testament, there are 150 verses either quoting or paraphrasing the Psalms. So the New Testament writers spent a lot of time in the Psalms. If the New Testament writers spent time in the Psalms, we should as well. Here's why Psalms are so important. In the Psalms, God says, here's who I am. I'm a God you can trust. I'm the creator. I'm your shield. I'm your refuge. I am everything you need me to be. And I want you to talk with me. I want to communicate with you. In the Psalms, we learn to pray. Now, I don't know what your experience in praying is, but when you go to the Psalms, you learn that prayer is simply communicating with God. You're telling God what's on your heart. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm sharing my frustrations. Sometimes I'm sharing some irritations. Sometimes I'm sharing my anger. God already knows it anyway. And I learned that from the Psalms. The Psalm says, how long, O Lord? Psalm 13, are you going to reject me forever? How long will you forget me? God, why do the wicked prosper? I mean, the psalmist just pours out his heart to God. And so when we go to the Psalms, it cuts through the confusion because we know that here's a God who loves us. And here's the deal. When you read the Psalms and you hear the questions, how long, O Lord, you're going to forget me? Why have you rejected me? What are you doing in my life? They always end with this. Oh, but I trust in your unfailing love. Man, I'm going to go back to you. I know I shared my heart. I shared my frustration, but God, only you I can trust. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused, but Lord, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. You're my shield. You're the horn of my salvation. You're my stronghold. You are my anchor. And I want to experience you, Jesus, as my anchor. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. If you want to cut through confusion in your life, and life is complex, it is layers of complexity. We're always going to be confused about something. If you want to cut through it, first you go to the book of John and you get to know Jesus. Then you go to the Psalms and you learn how to communicate with Jesus. Then you go to Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. and you learn about spiritual identity. You learn who you are in Jesus Christ. You learn that you are secure. You learn that you are significant. You learn that you're accepted and forgiven and empowered. So we don't want just know about Jesus. We want to know who Jesus is. So we go to John. Now, I want to stop here and say, these aren't like curbside pickups that we're doing now, right? These aren't just takeouts. You got to spend some time in John. You got to invest in it. Anything worthwhile takes investment. And you got to invest in the book of John to know who Jesus is so that you can know him personally and intimately. And then you go to the Psalms and you read through the Psalms and you can understand how you talk with God, how you communicate with God, the importance of truly pouring your heart out to God, but always ending up with God. I don't understand all this stuff, but I trust you. Then you go to Romans chapter 6 and you learn your spiritual identity. One more go-to place. Cut through the confusion. Anchor yourself in Jesus. Old Testament, book of Daniel. Man, I love this book. We learn in Daniel the clarity of conviction. The clarity of conviction. Now, in Daniel, you have chapters 1 through 6, and that focuses on stories about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. And then you have 7 through 12, and that focuses on prophecy. But man, there are some gems, there's some gold in that prophecy, if you can make your way through that. Here's the purpose of the book of Daniel. I want the world to know, Daniel says, that God is sovereign over all. He is sovereign over history. He doesn't make mistakes. He's never surprised by anything. And even when I live in a culture that has a humanistic philosophy, even when I live in a culture that's anti-God, even when I live in a culture that's postmodern, I still trust in God. I have a conviction in him that is uncompromising, and then that gives me clarity to cut through the confusion. Three things about the book of Daniel. Again, a fascinating book. Here's the first thing we learn from the book of Daniel. We learn that clarity comes from a passion for God. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, here's what we read. But the people who know their God will stand firm and take action. The people who know their God will stand firm and take action. Now, notice that that verse starts with but, in contrast to something. And so before, Daniel's been talking about people who didn't know God, people who were watering down the message, people who are anti-God, people who are living apart from God, people who are living in sin, people who are trying to confuse the people of God. And Daniel says, in contrast to them, but the people of God, the people who know their God, they will stand firm and they will take action. We want to be people who know our God. There's no back down in us. We stand firm and we take the needed action because we know our God. Here's a second point that we learn in Daniel. Clarity comes from great thoughts of God. Clarity comes from great thoughts of God. Daniel says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25, again, he wants everyone to know that God is sovereign. And so he says this in Daniel 4, 25, the Most High rules the kingdom of men. That's like the theme verse for Daniel. The Most High rules the kingdom of men. Then Daniel in chapter 2, verses 20 and 22, he says this, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To him belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. Now check this out. If you want to cut through confusion, then you want to make sure you're standing with God because he knows what's in the darkness and the light dwells with him. Daniel says that we are those who have great thoughts of God. A.W. Tozer says, what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So as you go to these go-to verses, you learn who God is, how to talk with him through the Psalms, how to interact with him, this great God that we can communicate with. Great thoughts of God. One more thing in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we learn that clarity comes with an uncompromising conviction. Man, in the book of Daniel, we see These young men who had an uncompromising conviction, they were living in a pagan society, but they said, look, I am going to follow my God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember? The king said, here's the deal. I'm going to make these idols. I want you to bow down before the idols. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow down before any idol. Throw us in a furnace. Do whatever you want with us. We're not going to back down. We're not going to bow down. Remember the story with Daniel? The edict went out. We want everyone to pray to the king. You don't pray to your God. You pray to the king. And I love this story. It says, as soon as Daniel knew that the king had signed the decree, you know what he did? He went up to his house. He went on the top floor. He got by a window. He knelt down and he prayed to God. And he didn't do that just one time. He did that three times every day. Now, Daniel was not saying, oh, I'm against the government. I'm not going to do what the government says to do. Daniel prospered from the government of that day. He was advisor to the kings. But he's saying, if anything stands in the way of God, I will not do it. I will not compromise. I will not back down. Well, you say, well, that's fine and good. As you know, they were delivered from the lion's den. They were delivered from the fire. Well, think about it. They didn't know they were going to be delivered. And they didn't care really one way or another. We know other people in Scripture, godly individuals like John the Baptist, he was beheaded, but he stood for God. Peter and Paul, they end up as martyrs, but they stood for God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love the story. The king says, you bow down before this idol, and if you don't, what God's going to save you? And I love what they say. Chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even need to answer you in this matter. There's no panic at all. We really don't even need to think about this. There's no confusion in our minds here. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. If God wants to deliver us, he has all the power to do that. He is sovereign over all. He'll deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. You see, if he delivers us, great. If he doesn't, that's fine as well. But we will not compromise. We will not back down. So, we live in a confusing time, don't we? But we know that Jesus is our anchor. And we want to experience him as our anchor.
And please stay with us. Just ahead, I'll tell you where to find additional resources in this series. And Ron will return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Have you ever wanted to read through the Bible in 1 year? Do you need an engaging, thought-provoking guide to lead you on that quest? Well, that's found in Ron Moore's travelogue titled Journey Through the Bible. Its 365 devotionals take you on an intimate, personal journey through the major scenes of Scripture. It begins with the creation account in Genesis and ends with an uplifting invitation to walk beside Revelation's river of life. Along the road, you'll experience vistas of wonder, discovery, and hope. But best of all, you'll come to know the God of the Bible in a deeper way. Journey Through the Bible is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
We can live in fear, and our fear wears us out spiritually. But when we anchor in Jesus, he holds us with his right hand.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget, Ron's devotional book, Journey Through the Bible, is yours for a gift of any amount. You can order it online at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. We also want you to know that there are more messages in this series and others that you won't hear over the air. However, you can find them at our church website, BibleChapel.org. There, Bible Chapel Associate Pastor Dave DiDonato brings real and relevant Bible-centered teaching that will help you grow in Christ. You'll also find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.